Science, technology, society, our lives, philosophy, and religion. This is Spark Dialogue Podcast, where it all comes together. I'm Elizabeth Fernandez.
It's a galaxy-eat-galaxy universe out there. Galaxies are constantly devouring one another. Again and again, we see evidence of this through fabulous pictures from telescopes like Hubble. These pictures show tiny galaxies in the process of being eaten, their stars stretched in long tenuous arcs as a smaller galaxy is shredded and eventually incorporated into the larger galaxy. These streams of stars are called tidal streams. And what's more, our galaxy has several of them, evidence that many smaller galaxies are being eaten by our very own Milky Way as we speak. In today's podcast, we talk to Dr. Robin Sanderson, the NSF Astronomy and Astrophysics Postdoctoral Fellow at Caltech, who looks for and studies these galaxies being swallowed by our own Milky Way. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So I know that you study something called tidal streams. Can you tell us a little bit about what tidal streams are?
Sure. So a tidal stream is what's left over after one galaxy eats another galaxy. And so what I mean by that is that galaxies in the universe are pretty much constantly interacting with one another. And when you have a bigger galaxy like the Milky Way, it's pretty much constantly eating much smaller galaxies. So we're talking about a galaxy that's maybe a hundredth to a thousandth of the mass in the Milky Way. So what happens is that the small galaxies sort of comes in and starts to gradually decrease the distance at which it's orbiting, in this case, the Milky Way. So I'll use that as an example because most of the tidal streams that I study are ones that are in the Milky Way galaxy. So you have this little galaxy, it comes in, and as it gets closer and closer to the Milky Way, the tidal force that it feels starts to get bigger and bigger. So you may be familiar with tides from the moon raising tides on the Earth. And so this is the same deal, except that now instead of the moon making the Earth's oceans bulge out because they feel a different amount of gravitational force on the side closer to the moon than on the side away. Instead, what you have is the Milky Way, which also has mass, so it has gravity. And this gravity pulls on the little galaxy. And the near side of the little galaxy feels more gravitational force than the far side relative to the middle of the Milky Way, right? And so what happens is that the difference between the force on the near side and the force on the far side is it gets big enough once the little galaxy gets close enough in that it overwhelms the little galaxy's ability to hold itself together with its own gravity. So, and so what happens when the tidal force from the Milky Way overwhelms the what's called the self-gravity, so the gravitational force holding the little galaxy together, is that it starts to get real long in one direction and stream out into a long thread of material. And you can see this happen by looking at the stars. And there are plenty of beautiful examples of this kind of interacting system. Hubble has some gorgeous images of interacting galaxies where you see these long arms of long strings of stars and gas. And those are the tidal streams caused by the tidal forces ripping this material and stretching it out along this long tail.
I've seen pictures from telescopes of big galaxies tearing apart smaller galaxies. But when we're looking at our own galaxy, how can we tell that these stars are from a small galaxy that's falling into our galaxy rather than part of our galaxy in the first place?
So this is a really tricky question, actually. So one thing that people do is they look not near the Milky Way's disk, right? So most of the stars in the Milky Way are in this plane, and we pretty much assume that all those stars formed in the Milky Way, so we don't look there. So what you do is you look perpendicular, like up out of the plane of the disk at the part of the sky that's not pointed at the disk. And so that helps you beat down some of the stuff that probably formed in our galaxy. If you see a bunch of stars with similar colors, and maybe you have some information about their speeds, and if they have similar speeds, and if all of these things are true, and they form this like long thin stream pattern on the sky, then you say, oh, I found a stream. And so what is going to happen in the near future, which is very exciting, is that we're going to be able to get lots more information about stars in the Milky Way that will help us sort out which ones came from our galaxy or formed here and which ones are immigrants from other galaxies.
Okay. So when you're looking at these stars that you see in these streams, do you notice any trends? Like, do they tend to be older or younger than stars we see in our galaxy, or do they have a different composition than the stars we see in our galaxy?
Yeah. So that's another thing that sort of backs up your assertion that a group of stars forms a stream besides the way they look on the sky. So stars from smaller galaxies that are accreted on, you expect them to be less rich in different chemical elements than stars that formed in our Milky Way. And there are a number of reasons for that, but the main one is just that they come from smaller galaxies and there aren't as many different, the abundances of the various chemical elements just aren't as high because there's just not as much stuff. It's tricky to tell how old stars are, but to the extent that we can, and mostly what we do is use chemical abundances as a proxy for age, but to the extent we can, the stars that form in these little galaxies tend to be a lot older than the stars on the whole in our Milky Way. So the Milky Way has stars that are as old as these, but it's continued to form stars pretty steadily for a while. And so there are a lot more younger stars in the Milky Way than there are in these smaller galaxies that become tidal streams.
Okay. So how many of these tidal streams do you see in the Milky Way? And how many of these little galaxies are currently merging into the Milky Way?
That's a good question. So, and it's one that I'm going to give an answer to. And if you ask somebody else that knows about this, they would probably give a different answer. So there's something between 10 and 50 tidal streams that we know about in the Milky Way, depending on who you ask. And the reason for that is because they're so difficult to find. Some of them are sort of tentatively, this might be a tidal stream, and some of them are really well studied.
So how long does it take for this to happen, for a small galaxy to merge into our galaxy?
Yeah, that's also a good question. So it depends a little bit on the orbit that the small galaxy has, so how close it comes to the middle of the Milky Way. But typically, you're talking a couple of billion years, billion with a B. So the universe is like 13.6 billion years old, and it takes a good fraction of that time for this process to wind itself out. So eventually what happens, I should mention, is that the stars stream out in these long tails and they wrap around, but they get longer and longer over time. And eventually what happens is that they're so long and there's so much distance between the stars, you can't tell that there's a tail anymore because it's wrapped around so many times. And then the stars just sort of get mixed into the general population and then it becomes very, very hard to find them. And at that point, I think most people would say that that's not a tidal stream anymore. It's just mixed into the accreted population in the Milky Way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the dark matter. So we have an idea that there's a lot of matter out there in our galaxy that we can't see. And there's lots of different ways we can tell this, but I know that these tidal streams can tell us a little bit as well that there's a lot of matter we can't see, this dark matter. So what can we tell about the dark matter by looking at these tidal streams?
Yeah. So there are a few things that you can do with them on this front. So I should note that, like, we don't know what dark matter is, and we don't know very well where it is in our galaxy or in most galaxies. It's very hard to tell. There are theories about what dark matter is that make predictions for where we should find it in a galaxy. With gravity, the amount of mass that you have determines how strong gravity is, right? So the speed at which things orbit around that blob of mass depends on how much mass there is. And the more mass there is, the faster the things will go around that blob. More than just sort of how much mass is enclosed, but also the distribution of mass can change it, right? So if you have a model for how you think the mass is distributed in the galaxy, you have your tidal stream, which is a bunch of stars that you know are orbiting around, and they all came from the same original object, then you can say, all right, so I think all these stars came from one satellite galaxy that was accreted. So I think they should all have very similar orbits because they all started out from the same sort of place.
Yeah.
And then using my model, I can compute what force I think gravity should exert on those stars and make a prediction sort of in reverse. And so what if I use my model to undo all their motion. Eventually, they should reassemble into one object if I sort of run time backwards. Only if you have something close to the right model for how mass is distributed in the Milky Way will you get that to work. And if what you get after you rewind is a galaxy, then you know you're close to the right answer.
So if you just had a model of your galaxy with just stars in it, and you rewound time and looked at your little galaxy that's merging into our galaxy, you wouldn't get a galaxy. You would get something else.
But if you just get a mess.
Right.
But in fact, it's even easier than that, because there's so much dark matter in the Milky Way that at the distances where most of these tidal streams are orbiting, they're mainly feeling the dark matter. And so if you just said, okay, let me use the gravity from the stars that I see, then a lot of these tidal streams, they're moving too fast to even be orbiting the galaxy at all if the only force of gravity pulling on them was from the stars.
I see. So you need the dark matter to pull these galaxies apart in the first place.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
And that also, the fact that these tidal streams are way out there where most of the mass is dark matter also makes them really useful, because there's not a lot of visible matter out there that you can do this with. And the further out you go, the more that's true.
Yeah. So you can begin to do all sorts of interesting things, like see if your dark matter is shaped like a sphere around our galaxy, or shaped like a pyramid, or some other sorts of like football type shape.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. And then you can get ideas of what it actually is shaped like. So what about these small galaxies? Do they have their own little dark matter halos, and can you tell anything interesting about them?
Oh, yeah. So of course they do have dark matter halos, or else they wouldn't have had enough. They wouldn't have had any way to confine the gas that turned into the stars that eventually make up the tidal stream. So what happens when one of these galaxies comes into the Milky Way and starts getting tidally shredded? The first thing to go is the dark matter halo. So you can, just like in the Milky Way, most of the stars in one of these small galaxies are very much more concentrated towards the middle, and the dark matter is sort of like more tenuously distributed in this big fuzzy ball. And so the farther out from the middle you get, the more susceptible you are to this tidal stripping process. And so when the galaxy comes in, the first thing that happens is it loses most of the outskirts of its dark matter halo. And in the same way that the stars do, the dark matter is forming these sort of streamy things, but we just can't see them, right? And so then once it gets far enough in, then the stars start to be susceptible to the tides, and then they form the tidal stream.
Okay. So all of this together, seeing all these tiny galaxies falling into the big galaxies, is this telling you something about how galaxies grow in the universe?
Bigger things eating smaller things is happening all the time. And so the fact that we see these tidal streams is a direct result of the fact that dark matter comes in blobs of all shapes and sizes, and then the bigger ones are constantly eating the smaller ones.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast.
My pleasure.
This is Elizabeth Fernandez for Spark Dialogue Podcast. If you like us, don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. Thanks for listening.